Kunya vihari. Deya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Dana Vallava Giri Varadhani. Gopi Dana Vallava Giri Varadhani. Yasoda nandana braja jana nandana. Yasoda nandana braja jana nandana. Jamuna tiravana. Dadi Jamuna Tiravana Dadi Deya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Deya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chanda Radha Vrindavan Chanda Radhe. Jaya Gaura Nithai Jaya Gaura Nithai Jaya Gaura Nithai Jaya Gaura Nithai. Jaya Om Vishnu Pat Paramahamsa Paravarajakacharya Astuta Satasi Simaristi Vaingres Sila Ave Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai Iskon Founder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Varinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Gauranga. Oh, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Staya. Tani Suknavati Antaswanti Ami. Namaste Sarasvati Devi. Gauravani Pracharine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatyade Satadine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna.
Once in the life of King Yudhishthira, there was an occasion where he had to answer several questions. And his answers to these questions would determine whether or not his four brothers, the Pandavas, were to live. Today, I would like to bring four of these many questions to your attention, and I will put the questions and later give the answers which Yudhishthira gave. But before we go to the questions, let me tell you of the Pandavas' fortune. It so happened that while they were when they had lost their kingdom in the game of dice, they were cursed to live in banishment for 12 years. They had to go in the forest and give up their kingdom. The last year, they had to live incognito. And if they would have been detected in this last year, and any person would find out that they actually were the Pandavas, they would have to repeat the banishment again. So the princes of the earth, who were accustomed to jewels, silken cloth, and the best of foods, had to live in the forest under a tree in the Dvaita Van. Now, their neighbor lived in a hut. It was a brahmana who each day would perform the Agnihotra sacrifice. We will refer to this brahmana as the Agnihotra brahmana. For the sacrifice, he required a certain amount of fuel and a certain wood was necessary in order to ignite this fire. He kept the wood which he needed for this Agnihotra fire in one corner of his little estate. It was more a clearing in the forest. Now one day, the five Pandavas heard the brahmana lamenting, oh no, what a misfortune. They came running from underneath their tree to their neighbor, the Agnihotra brahmana, and said, why are you crying? What is the misfortune? Oh, today, a deer came with his antlers. What is it called? No, horns, but they have a certain name, these horns. Tusk? No, that's antlers. You know everything, Kostuva. Yes, endless. They're called endless. What comes here? One deer with this endless came and took all the wood which we required for, which I required for the sacrifice, and ran into the forest. But I need this wood. It is very special wood. I need to make my Agnihotra with this wood. Oh, said the Pandavas, no problem, we will quickly run and catch the deer. They all went out. They were experienced deer catchers. I mean, they could do anything with their weapons. But no matter how hard they tried, the deer would always escape them. Sometimes it would be seen on one top of a hill, and when they came close and had circumambulated the deer, it would mystically disappear and appear on the other side of a hill, all the time having the special wood in his antlers. And sometimes it would seem to the Pandavas that the deer would grin at them. Yes, it was a special deer. At the end of the day, the Pandavas were totally exhausted and said, before we can continue to catch the deer, we must get something to drink. Nakula, you are the youngest. Go and get water for your brothers. So Nakula went, and as the story unfolds, he went to a beautiful, clear lake. As he approached the lake, he saw it had pure, crystal clear water. There were elegant swans moving on the surface of the lake. And inside the lake, there was a garden of lotus flowers. Nakula was happy. This must be clear drinking water. Otherwise, how could there be swans and lotus flowers? As he approached the lake to drink, however, he heard a voice. Stop! Before you drink, answer my questions. Otherwise, you will dry. You will die. Nakula looked around, but he found no one, so he bent down to drink the crystal clear water of the lake, and as a result, he fell down dead. Strange, but this is how it happened. The next one who was sent by Yudhishthira after Nakula did not return was Sahadev. Sahadev also found the lake, and as he was about to drink, he heard the voice telling him to stop. Hare Krishna Mataji, we hear every word. Would you like to have the microphone and address everyone? No? Then kindly control the urge to speak. Then Sahadev did like Nakula. He saw no one who had answered, who had asked him the question. He drank water and he also fell down dead. Yudhishthira was worried. Nakula and Sahadev were not present. Where were they and what had happened to them? So he sent Bhim. When Bhim came, Bhima, and saw his two brothers lying dead, he was overwhelmed with pangs of separations. He lamented for a while, but then the thirst overcame him, and he also wanted to drink. Again he heard this mysterious voice. Stop! Answer my questions. Only if you answer my questions are you allowed to drink. Bhim looked around. Who are you? But no one was there. So he drank and he also fell down dead. Finally, Yudhishthira said, Arjuna, three of your brothers have not returned to bring water. Now you go find your brothers and bring water for us all. And also Arjuna, as he climbed up a tree to see where there was water to be found, saw the lake, and he went to the lake to get water. And the same fate which had befallen his three brothers, befell the best of the Kurus, Arjuna, the dear friend of Krishna. He also was admonished, stop, or you will die the same way your brothers have died. Answer my questions before you drink. I am the owner of the lake. Arjuna said, show yourself, where are you? Who are you? And no answer came, so Arjuna drank and died also. The last person who came to that lake of death was Yudhishthira himself. When he saw his four brothers lying on the ground without any traces of a fight, you know, they had just drunk water and no one could see from where they had died, Yudhishthira lamented. He needed Bhima to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. He needed Arjuna, and he needed his two brothers to fight for the right cause of Dharma. But here they were, and they had mysteriously died. After he cried for a long time, his thirst overcame him, and he wanted to drink. When at the last moment he heard that terrible being crying out to him, stop! No, you can come in. Stop! Answer my questions before you drink, O Yudhishthira. This is my lake. If you do not answer the questions and you drink out of greed, you will die. Yudhishthira tried to find the being. Finally he said, who are you that you have murdered my brothers? I will answer your questions, but show yourself. In this moment, out of the lake, a terrible being arose. He looked like a yaksha. Yaksha is a mystical being, like a ghost. And he said, I am who I am. Answer my questions. If you can answer my questions, one of your brothers may live. Now imagine the person who would be most dear to you would be lying dead on the ground, and you are told you should answer some questions, and if you know the answer, these persons will live. You will try your best. The first question, or one of the first questions he asked, what is more numerous than the grass on the earth? How would you have answered this question? Is the question clear? What is more numerous, that means more in quantity than the grass on the earth? The living entities, someone said? Drops in the ocean? What? Desires. Yes, there are more desires than grass on the earth. Maybe you have even more desires. I mean, the second question, this was what Yudhishthira also said. The second question, please listen attentively, your life might be dependent on this. What is faster than the wind? Mind. Yes, everyone knows. Another question is, What does a person have to give up in order to become loved by others? Pride. Very good. One of the other questions was, what are the news of this world? Interesting question. What are the news? Iraq has been defeated. No, what are the news? Then another question is, what is the greatest wonder? The third question which we will deal today with is, what is the true path? And the fourth question, who is happy in this world? So let me come to the first of our four questions. What are the news of the world? I personally think no one can answer this question as good as Yudhishthira, so I will try you. I will give the answer. He said, this whole world of Mahamoha, that means a great illusion, is like a pot. The fire underneath this pot are the days and nights. The spoon are the months, and the seasons are the stirring. The living entity who are in this world are cooked by death, who is the cook. Hare Krishna. Let me summarize it, because some of you have such a complicated answer, we have to get it a little bit clear. The world is a pot, days and nights is the fire, and we are inside the pot, which is stirred by death. After a few moments, just like a potato whose time has come, you will also be cooked by death. Hare Krishna, this is intense. These are the news of the world. Second question, what is the greatest wonder? Did Yudhishthira say the Taj Mahal or the Niagara Falls? There are, I believe, 7 world wonders. No, he said, Ahanyahani Bhutani Kachantyamala Jamalayam Sheshastavaramichanti Kimashayamataparam. He said, every day there are living entities who go into the house of death and they don't return. But the rest of us, who are not yet in the house of death, think we will live eternally. This is the greatest wonder in this world. Although everyone sees everyone else has died, they think they never dare think of death. I know very often in this world when you stop someone on the street and say, hey man, I just wanted to break a very important news for you. You will have to die. You must prepare yourself. Then the person will say, oh, this is not a good subject matter. Please let us change the subject. Yes. Then a question came. The Yaksha who asked these questions and who received the answers was very satisfied when he received these answers of Yudhishthira, and he said, I have another question, the Yaksha said. What is the true path in this world? Yudhishthira immediately gave another very beautiful answer. He said, Tako pratishta shrutaya vibhina. That you cannot find the truth in the houses of the rishis who debate and say, my point of view is higher than your point of view. In the discussions you cannot find truth. Where you can find truth is in the heart of the self-realized souls. They show us the true path by their realization, by their example, by their knowledge. Please go to think a little bit about this for a moment. Where will you find the truth? If you read in all the Vedic scriptures, you might find different perspectives about the absolute truth. Some describe it as formless. Some Vedic scriptures describe it as supreme personality. Some say one must do this path, or one must do karma or jnana yoga. But best example where to find truth is in the heart of someone who is self-realized. You, in the cave of his heart, guha means cave, you will find living truth. It is said, the shastras, though the scriptures, teach us something passively. Passively in the sense that, for instance, the Bhagavad Gita, it will never make an active step. It will not come out to you and say, hey, Rishikesh Sharma, follow the path of the great souls. It will not teach actively. It teaches passively. Rishikesh Sharma has to take the Bhagavad Gita and leaf through it and look through it and become inspired in his heart. But the sadhus or the devotees of Krishna, they are not passive. They come to us in a very active way, and they will say, Hare Krishna, Jeev Jago, wake up. Don't fall asleep to the most important questions of the human form of life. They're very active. They go around this world. They sing and dance on the streets, and they do something. They advise us for our betterment. So therefore, Yudhishthira says, the true path can be found in the heart of these great souls. Finally, Yudhishthira Maharaj is asked a question, who is happy in this world? I would like to ask you this question. How would you answer this question? First of all, have you ever seen a happy person in this world? A truly happy person? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Who is happy in this world? Yajna Purusha. Oh, when I look at the Hare Krishna people, I don't see only happy people. The pure devotees. One who is satisfied with what he has. Other possibilities? The most ignorant people, aren't they also happy? Ooh, TV! Today is TV! There is a statement in the Bhagavatam which says, there are only two happy people. The most ignorant people and the most transcendental people. The rest of us in between, who are neither the most ignorant nor the most transcendental people, are suffering the miseries of material existence. It says like this. Yudhishthira gave a very cryptic answer. Cryptic means a hidden or mysterious answer, which is difficult to understand at the very beginning. When Yudhishthira Maharaj said, he is happy in this world who lives at home and who has no debts. Now at this moment you might ask yourself, what? A great Mahabhagavat devotee? speaks of the pleasures of Grihastha life as the greatest happiness in the world. He who lives at home and has no debts, means of a rich Grihastha life. Please listen very carefully. When Yudhishthira Maharaj, this is what the Acharyas explained, said, he who lives at home, he was speaking of a devotee who lives in the understanding of his eternal home, back to Godhead. A devotee in this world who lives in the understanding that I am going back home, back to Godhead, will see everything which happens to him in this life, even the so-called discouraging things in this world, as tests and helps on his path. Yesterday I read in the Bhagavatam how Srila Prabhupada said, when a devotee suffers in this world, it doesn't matter because he knows his bad karma is exhausted. It goes, you know, my suffering, my bad karma goes away with the suffering. And when a devotee is happy in this world, he knows my good karma is exhausted. I'm becoming free from bad and good karma because I am on my way back home, back to Godhead. So someone who lives in this concept, I am going back home, back to Godhead, he lives happy. I remember when I was a young devotee, I would go every day with our devotees on the streets in Hamburg, and we would chant on all day. Sometimes we would be just so happy. We would spontaneously break out in an English song where we sang, we are going back to Godhead. We were so happy with this understanding that our life is a journey, a pleasurable journey back to Godhead. So Yudhishthira, when he said, he who lives at home without debts, he is a happy person. He meant he who is living in the concept, I'm back to Godhead, going back to Godhead. The other point, without debts, means, debts means attachment. If you have no attachments to this world, you can also be happy. The reason why you are unhappy is because you have so many attachments, so many plans, so many things you feel you have to obtain. But when you can free yourself from the, rope of attachments, then you can be truly happy. After Yudhishthira had answered many of these questions from the yaksha appeared again before him. He had first come to him as a crane. Then he had changed into a black palm tree. But now the yaksha appeared in a full form as Dharmaraj, the god of Dharma. His other name is Yamaraj, the god of death. And he said, Yudhishthira, you are so wonderful. You have given such nice answers. Now you choose, please, one of your brothers to live. Now Yudhishthira knew that in the future there would be the battle of Kurukshetra. And the most capable of his brothers to fight was certainly Arjuna or Bhima, the wolf belly, Vrikodara. No. But Yudhishthira said, I choose that one of the twins, Sahadev or Nakula, should live. Yamaraj said, but they are not as powerful warriors as your other two brothers, Arjuna and Bhima. Why do you choose them? Yudhishthira said, well, you must know that we had I have two mothers, Kunti, that my father had two wives, Kunti and Matri. Kunti bore me and my two brothers Bhima and Arjuna. I am living, I am the son of Kunti, let a son of Matri also live. Yamaraj said, you are so good. I mean, this is really, you are too good. Choose another of your brothers. Let Sahadev live. Choose another of the brothers. So Yudhishthira requested another brother, and Yamaraj was again bewildered. Why not Bhim? And immediately Yudhishthira gave his answer. Finally, Yamaraj said, you have defeated me. All your brothers may live. And you have one last desire. What do you want to have from me? Yudhishthira said, I want to be victorious over my enemies. Now this is a very, very interesting situation. Imagine you stand before Yamaraj, the god of death, who can take the life of everyone, even of Saddam Hussein, who seems to hide. The question is, whom would you name? Who's your enemy? Yamaraj thought, well, Yudhishthira would certainly name Duryodhana or Shakuni. So Yamaraj said, okay, who are your enemies? Whom do you wish to defeat? Yudhishthira said, I only have 6 enemies. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Matsarya, and something else. Lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, and the sum total is madness. Please, these are my enemies. May I be victorious over them. Yamaraj said, I can't give you the blessing to ask such a thing in such a situation means you have already conquered them. Ask me for something else. Yudhishthira said, may I obtain love of Godhead. Yamaraj said, tatastu. And there is another blessing which I will give you. At the end of your exile, you should go and live in the kingdom of Virata. There you will be totally incognito. Actually, I must say, Yudhishthira asked this. Give me the blessing, please, that for the last year, no one shall discover us. So, yes, this is a little, let me say, narration from the Mahabharata, which I wanted to tell you today. Because most properly today we are a little exhausted after having such a wonderful festival. So I did not want to talk about very difficult to follow ideas. I just want to summarize again the answer to these four questions, which are spiritually very beneficial for us. When Yudhishthira was asked what are the news of this world, he said, we all are really in the pot and cooked by death until we die. When he was asked what is the greatest wonder is that, he answered, well, every day people die, but no one prepares for his death of the people who are left behind. When Yudhishthira was asked what is the true path, that I thought this is interesting for you all, he said, to follow the path which is hidden in the heart of the great souls. That is the true path for truth. And when he said, was asked who is happy in this world, he did not say someone who dies with the maximum amount of toys. That's an American bumper sticker. He who dies with the maximum amount of toys is the winner of the race. That's a bumper sticker in America. No. He said that person is happy in this world who goes back to Godhead and who has no debts, no attachments left. If you want to become free from attachments, you must develop one attachment. Prabhupada has told us that to become free of, if you want to become detached, you must become attached. If you want to become detached from the things of the world, you must become attached to Krishna. Otherwise, there is no solution. You can fight for many lifetimes with the attachments which surround you from all sides, and you won't be able to conquer them if you do not become attached to Krishna. I want to end with telling you something which changed my life very much. It was one of the years when I went to Puri, and I went in the association with the king, who is a friend of our movement. I went to to a mat. In this mat, the imamat, lived one Ramanuja Gopal, and he asked me, "Oh, Swamiji, what have you realized in this life?" I have asked these questions to all the saints of India. What is your realization? So I said to the man, I'm really, I did said something which I will not tell you now. I'll tell it a little later. And he said, "Swamiji, I once went to the greatest saint in Badrinath. He was living in a cave, and before him there was a pile of donations which the pilgrims had given to him. He was sitting there, naked, in deep meditation. He had not touched any of the money which had been given to him, and there was now a pile. So when the saint saw that I had come into the cave, he acknowledged me and said, 'Let us meditate.' So we meditated for 6 hours. Then the saint said, 'I will be just back.' So he went out of the cave to answer some little nature's call. So the Ramanuja Gopal said, when he was out, I told my friend who was with me, my servant, not friend, servant who was with me, 'Sit at his baitak.' You know what is a baitak? It means the sitting place where a person who does sadhan sits and does his spiritual exercises. In India, the sadhus will always sit at the same place and do their japa or whatever they do, because they believe if they always sit at the same place, a certain spiritual energy field will be established, which becomes stronger and stronger, so that sadhana is easier if you always sit at the same spot. I have seen also in this temple, many of the devotees always sit at the same spot when they do their japa. It is something very natural. So no one is supposed to sit on your baitak. When there's a sadhu, you should respect his sitting place and not sit on his sitting place. So Ramanuja Gopal said to his assistant, when this renounced sadhu was out to urinate, He said to his assistant, sit on his baitak. No, 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 says the assistant. If he comes back, he will be angry. No, 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 I'm here. Sit on the baitak. I want to see something. The sadhu came back. He saw someone was sitting on his sitting place. And he exploded in rage. What are you doing on my baitak? Ramanuja Gopal said, I'm sorry, I told my assistant to sit on the baitak. I was just thinking, why do you become so angry? You have given up everything. You have not even touched the money. But you are so attached to sit on one piece of land, 50 centimeters times 50 centimeters. You have given up the world, but now you are attached to a piece of land, which gives you some position. When the sadhu heard this, he was extremely moved. He shed a tear and said, you are right. It's so difficult to give up attachments. It's so difficult. I don't know how to do it. He must have been an impersonalist who doesn't know of the attractive form of Krishna with whom you can have a loving exchange in devotional service. So Ramanuja Gopal turned to me and said, what have you realized, you almost as saying, you white-skinned Westerners in the garb of a sadhu, what have you realized? I was thinking very deeply. I mean, I'm certainly attached to dates, for instance. I like dates very much. This is the Arabian fruit. It is very agreeable to my system. And I am attached to candles. What have I realized so far? And I told Ramanuja Gopal, see, what I have realized is that if I just stick to the path which has been revealed to me by my spiritual master, wonders can happen by his mercy. For instance, I told him, my spiritual master has revealed the holy names of Krishna to me. And I know if I chant these holy names, attempting to concentrate my mind, then the holy names will purify me. My spiritual master has given me devotional service. In my case, he has requested me to preach Krishna consciousness. And I know as long as I do this, people will be benefited, and I also will be benefited. I have realized, I told Ramanuja Gopal, that out of my own strengths, I'm nothing. I'm even still attached to dates and candles. But if I remain connected to my spiritual master and the wonderful gifts which he has given to me, the holy name, this wonderful knowledge of Krishna consciousness, some attachment to Vrindavan and the wonderful secrets of devotional service which can be found in Vrindavan. Then, by the strength of my spiritual master and by the strength of Lord Krishna's kripa, there is hope. This is my realization. Hare Krishna. It's my truthful realization. I have not tricked you, my dear Ramanuja Gopal. And I want to say to you, my spiritual masters, wunderbar, they say in Germany, wunderbar means wonderful in English. please connect with his gifts and experience the mercy of Lord Krishna in your life. And you will be very happy and free from the anxiety that you have to attain something. We are so weak. We are normal people, even if we come from India. We need the mercy. The Kripa Shakti. Hare Krishna. I want to thank all of you very, very much. This is the end of my stay in New Vrindavan. I am very, very greatly moved by the hospitality of all of you and by the mercy of Radha Vrindavan Chandra, whom we will see in this minute, who will look at us mercifully from the corners of their eyes and bless us. Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.